Revelation chapter 11, we've been studying through the book of Revelations, and I've not made it complicated on purpose. We've not went much into the book of Daniel and Ezekiel on purpose. If you want to do in-depth studies, yes, you need to do that, but we've kind of did the old KISS, keep it simple, stupid, you know, that's me. And y'all like it when I do KISS, keep it short, stupid. So I've tried to keep it short and simple, and I thought that would help. But tonight I'm going to get a little more complicated, okay? I'm just going to get a little more. Now we're going to read the whole chapter, and you just read along with me, if you will, there in chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. How many years is that? 3.5 years. And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now you know where that is. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another, because these 2 prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Well, how'd they do that? By their preaching. They torment them. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in that earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The 2nd woe is past, and behold, the 3rd woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there went great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. The whole chapter 11. Amen, amen. There are some things introduced in this chapter that you probably never heard before. I thought maybe you would like it, have a little explaining. The first, I looked up the exact definition because I know what it is, but you know sometimes you'll say something and you don't really know how to explain it. It mentions abomination of desolation. And it's a despicable misuse of the temple of the Lord during that great tribulation period. that Daniel talks about in Daniel chapter 11:31 and Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. The phrase is also found in Matthew 24, I think it's verse 15. The abomination of desolation. Our first verses here tell us that the temple is going to be rebuilt there in verses 1 and 2. In verse 1, he gives us he says, rise up and take a reed and measure that temple. So we know it's going to be built. And the altar and them that worship there. And he talks about the court of the temple. And so we know the temple is going to be rebuilt during the tribulation period, during those years that there in Israel, the Israelis will rebuild their temple. I've been studying on this. There's several Jewish groups right now who have plans to rebuild that temple. There's one group that says the temple, the outer wall where the Jews now pray, that great wall where they all go to put their prayers in the little cracks, that's the only part left of the old city there. They said that that is actually where the temple stood between there and the Dome of the Rock, where the Muslims now have that mosque over the top of the rock where Abraham offered up his son Isaac. Now, there's some Jews say the temple can be built right beside that mosque and there won't be a problem. Well, that would work for these united people. Everybody wants to get along, coexist. Well, that would work for them. Right now, there's no way to build a temple on that ground because the Muslims say it's their holy ground, and if you build a temple on it, then you desecrate their holy ground. And so Israel allows them to keep it. Some are afraid it would cause war to do it. But once the Antichrist gets in charge, he can do whatever he wants to. And they're going to follow him anyway. The Bible tells us that God will send them a strong delusion, that they'll believe a lie. So once he gets in charge, he can order that temple to be rebuilt because he is the abomination of desolation that sits on that throne, and he's all that's evil sitting on the throne of all that's holy and righteous and pure. And so he wants that temple rebuilt so that the world will come and worship him. He is the Antichrist, the opposite of what Christ is, that's what he is. So therefore, during the tribulation period, it will be rebuilt. Not doubt my mind. These groups, these Jewish groups, they are preparing the furniture to go in it. Just like was in the Old Testament, the furniture that went in the temple, they've already prepared a lot of that furniture. They've already remade the robes that the high priest wears and the Levites wear and others wear that take care of the temple and do the sacrifices. They've already set up some ceremonies where they can dedicate the new temple. They expect the temple to come at any minute. The Jews do, the devout Jews, they're praying for the temple to be rebuilt so that the Savior can come. They think if it's rebuilt, then their Savior will come to the temple. So therefore, everything is laid and it's ready. And I want you to notice, he said in verse 1, and that worship therein, it's going to be built for worship. It's not going to be like these big Catholic cathedrals where nobody ever goes and nothing's ever done. You know, when they do have a service, just a handful of people. It's going to be used for worship. And the Jew will be attracted back to that, see, because the temple is what they're all about. The Jews who have not received Jesus Christ as the Messiah are looking for a Messiah to come. So they will be happy to go back to that temple. They will honor and respect the Antichrist for building it for them. And that'll be to them another sign that he is their Christ that they've been looking for. Well, the abomination of desolation, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So right now, everything's being gotten ready there in Israel, there in Jerusalem. Right now, everything's getting ready for the Antichrist to come. And whether you believe it or not, Israel is the center of our world. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe this. Well, just look at the news headlines. Where is it all at? It's in the Middle East. And what's the number one thing they talk about the most? The Muslim says we got to get rid of the Jew in order to have a Islamic world. And the only way to have that is to kill all the Jews or drive them into the ocean, they say, and destroy them. Syria has publicly said that. Iran is building up a nuclear arsenal to destroy the Jew right now. And our government is financing it right now. Our government's financing it. And it's all being set up. The Russians have come in now, and they're in Syria, and they've got five bases right now. The Syrians have five airports they have set up inside of Syria, claiming to help the Syrian people, but all they're doing is killing Syrian people. They're not helping them. They're keeping that dictator propped up, and they're in cahoots with Iran. They're selling things to Iran. They're selling nuclear material and planes and tanks and everything else to Iran, and it's all getting set up right now. They want Israel destroyed. But see, when the Antichrist comes, he's going to say, no, we're not destroying it. We're going to use it. We're going to take it. And somehow, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but somehow, well, like the Bible says, God will, they refuse to believe truth, so God will let them believe a lie. He's going to profess to be the Islamic Savior. And by the way, they're looking for a Messiah to come. Right now, they call him the fifth Imam. He's the fifth Imam. And they're looking for him. They're praying for him. And they said the way he's coming is coming to destroy and to fight. And a world war has to bring him in. That's what they're saying. And so he's going to convince them somehow that he is their Christ. He is their Savior. He's their Messiah. And at the same time, he will be the Jewish Messiah. And at the same time, the apostate church, those who said they were believers and really weren't, and they got left behind during the rapture, those people, they're going to think he's Jesus come back. So he's all wrapped up in everything, see. And all the religions of the world will follow him, every one of them. And it's all getting set up right now. Right, boy, they used to make fun of us old fundamentalists that believe the Bible because we talked about the mark of the beast and you can't buy or can't sell with it. Well, I got news for you. You go to the store now, try to use a little cash. You'll confuse everybody. You go to these grocery stores and stuff where these little old kids is working, they don't know how to make change. They want that card. They want your number. That's what they want. That card's your number. And now, anywhere you go to the hospital, you buy gasoline with a card. Amen? And here's what they say. It's safer and it's more convenient. And look, you probably spent $50 on gas this week and never took a dollar bill out of your pocket. You didn't hand anybody anything. You swiped a card and this computer, with the bank's computer, deducted $50 out of your bank account. You never saw it. You never even had it. You didn't have $50 in there. You had numbers in there. We don't have money in the bank no more. Every once in a while, I'll blow those little old girls' minds over there at Founders. I'll walk in, they'll say, can I help you? I said, yeah, I want you to go back there and get all my money and bring it up here and let me look at it. I got a couple CDs. I'm an old man, you know. I've saved a little money, you know. I got a few CDs. I got a little cash in there. I said, I want you to go back there. They'll say, what? I said, I want you to go back there. Y'all got a vault. I see it right there. It's open. I want you to go back there and bring out here cash money and lay it out here, my money, and count it. I just want to smell it. And they'll look at me. They'll say, we can't do that. And I said, why not? They say, it ain't back there. I said, where's it at? And every time they'll say, it's in there, and they point at the computer. It's getting set up, folks. Like it or not. You like it or not, it's getting set up. And now, hey, computers can now, they're involved in everything. Look what they've done to Hillary. If it wasn't for her telling lies, she would be so exposed, but she keeps throwing the news somewhere else. But look what they've done to her. Stuff that she wrote emails in 1990. Now they're public because they were on computers. And some guy went in there and done this. Our whole life is in that computer. Our whole life. And now it's getting more and more and easier and easier. And I got news for you. So I don't believe in the mark of the beast. It's coming. It's coming. You say, well, it's going to be these numbers. No, sir. It ain't going to be nothing that you can see. But it's going to be something the computer can see. And there's a lot of things like that right now. You ever, have you ever self-checked out at the grocery store or Lowe's or something? Do you know what that is? That's barcode. They just skim it, and that computer reads those numbers in those little dashes. And it reads those numbers, and you know what it does? It goes to your bank, deducts money from your bank, puts it in Lowe's or whoever, Home Depot or the grocery store, puts it in their account, and ain't a dollar bill passed or not a dime or a nickel or a quarter passed. It's all numbers. And let me tell you something. They're getting smarter and smarter. It ain't going to be long. Of course, I'm not going to be here when the mark's handed out. I'll be out of here. I'll be raptured right before that happens. We believers are going to be gone. But now they got these little digital things. They put them under... Some of y'all could probably got them. How many of y'all got a dog with a tracker thing in it? People go to the vet now, and that vet will take a syringe and insert, look like a piece of rice up under the skin of that dog, and if it gets lost, you just turn on your phone on the GPS and find your dog, like your lost phone. They're doing it to old people now with Alzheimer's. I'm going to have one any day. And they're doing it to old people right now. If your mom or dad's got Alzheimer's, they'll take that. It's the size, just smaller, just a grain of rice, and they'll inject it right up under the skin right there, and it won't hurt you. And they're promoting that right now. That could be the mark of the beast because the computer is scanned right across that thing. Now, I'm telling you, the Antichrist, you can say I'm crazy. You can say I'm a lunatic or religious fanatic. You say whatever you want to. But I kind of believe he's alive and well right now.
Amen.
I do. I really feel like that. I think he's alive and well right now. I don't know if he knows who he is, but he might just be a little boy. I don't know. Hadn't grown up far enough. It ain't time yet. Or he may be a teenager and don't know it. I don't know. He's not going. Well, he probably ain't, because most teenagers are already demon possessed. But anyway, a few of you ain't. But he may be a full grown man, and he don't know who he is till the trumpet sounds and God does the work in his mind, his heart, and we're out of here.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. And it's all getting ready. Those Jews are laying out stuff. They've made new furniture for their temple. They've made new worship clothes for the high priest and all for their temple. They're starting to arrange the ceremonies now. There's thousands and thousands of them. I know there's at least two groups that's doing it right now, getting ready, right now. And they're making plans. You know why? They said the Messiah's coming. The Messiah's coming. And they pray every day for him to come. And look here, they're rebuilding the temple in chapter 11. And listen, the only purpose for that temple is for somebody to sit on that throne and call himself God. Now, it's either the real God or it's a fake one, and we know it's a fake one. And that's why they're rebuilding that temple. Now, I want you to notice this. Look at verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. Now the olive tree in the Bible always represents something about Israel. And the two candlesticks that always represent something about the worship of God there in the temple. Before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. In other words, if a person attacks one of these two preachers, fire will come out of that preacher's mouth and kill that fellow. You say, preacher, I can't believe that. Television's getting you ready for it. You don't even know it. These new TV programs, man, they showing stuff that we never would have dreamed of years ago. These horror movies and science fiction movies and all that. And what they're doing, they're getting people desensitized. So when it does happen, they say, oh, I saw that in the movie. They won't think nothing about it. Getting desensitized is what they're doing. And then he goes on this in verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not. In the days of their prophecy. In other words, while they're standing on the streets of Jerusalem and preaching the kingdom of God's coming, repent. They're going to be preaching like John the Baptist, except it's about his second coming, not his first coming. And while they're preaching, it's not going to rain a drop. They're going to hold back the rain. And have power over waters to turn them to blood. Just like there were the children of Israel in Egypt. And God turned the waters into blood. It's going to happen again. And they're going to have power to look at that water and turn it into blood right there. They can do that. Why would they do that? Well, the Bible says, Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so God puts a lot of stock in blood. And if they turn that water to blood, it won't be life to those fish and those marine animals. It'll be death to them because you can't breathe blood. And so they're going to have power to do that, see. And to smite the earth with all plagues. It's all the same plagues that were in the book of Exodus is going to be there again. Every one of them's coming. They're coming back. That God poured out on those Egyptians, and they woke up one day with their bed full of frogs and their bathtub full of frogs and the kitchen full of frogs. They can do that again. They can do it again. That plague of lice, y'all remember that? Most people don't even remember the plague of lice, Brother Bobby. He throwed that dust up in the air and it became lice, and just billions of lice covered people, body lice. And that's an ugly, nasty thing, boy. You can't sleep. You can't do anything without thinking about it. And the boils and things like that. These two preachers had the power to do that. And I want you to notice the last part of that verse 6. As often as they will. As often as they will. That means God's given them total control. And He's turned them loose. And if they look at you and say, you're blaspheming God, they can just breathe on you and kill you. Or they can walk over there to the river and say, be turned into blood. Whenever they want to. They don't have God's going to give them authority to do what they want to, when they want to, however they want to do it. And He's going to turn two fiery preachers loose on Israel. Brother Bobby, there hadn't been a preacher like these two. Now listen to me. Listen. Some people are so ignorant, they're already falling for false teaching on this stuff. The Seventh-day Adventists will tell you that those two witnesses, one of them is the Bible and the other one is the church. It's not true. Not true. The Mormon will tell you that one is the Book of Mormon and the other is the Bible. Not true. Not true. It's two literal human being men. Two men. And they're going to come out like Elijah. And they're going to come out like John the Baptist. And they're going to preach hellfire and damnation too, but they're not holding back. They're not going to be politically correct. And CNN's going to be there. And NBC's going to be there. And CBS, can you imagine what crowd these guys would draw now? Used to be people thought, well, ain't nobody going to see them at Israelis. No, sir. Now, go on and read it. The whole world will see them. The whole world's going to see them. That was never possible until the day that we live in. 24-hour live feed news everywhere you go. You can turn on your TV, see news 24/7 a day. Hey, you can turn on your computer, see news and stuff 24/7. Y'all do it. Go ahead and nod your head. Everybody in here does. We see stuff live 24/7. You know, 24-hour television didn't start, listen to this, until there in Iran, the Iranians threw out the Shah that we had put in there, and then they took the people hostage that was in the U.S. government embassy. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember a TV program started called Nightline. Television used to sign off depending on which channel, 11, 12 o'clock. It'd sign off. Y'all remember that? How many of y'all remember TV signing off? They'd play the national anthem, show you the flag, and then that test pattern go up there and go, bzzz, and all night. You could turn on every television channel you wanted to. Wasn't nothing on there until about 6 o'clock in the morning. It signed back on the same way it signed off. But then, when the Iranians went into that embassy and took those people prisoner. And by the way, Jimmy Carter was the president. Yeah. Yeah. And he claimed to be a born-again Christian. He may be. I don't know. But he don't know anything about the Bible. And he let them push America around for over 100 days. And they kept those people in there. and news was there every night, and people got so used to watching all night news, the television channel said, we need to do this all the time. And they started all night news, and they started all night television because of that. And by the way, every bit of that was biblical. Every bit of that. That was the Iranians raising up, those Muslims who hate God and hate America and hate Israel. See? Now, these two witnesses, they have supernatural powers. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? They have supernatural powers. Now, let me tell you. Now, I wouldn't disagree. Well, I might disagree with you, but I wouldn't part friendship with you if you disagreed with me on this. I believe. Now, some people say that one of these witnesses is Moses resurrected because of the plagues that Egypt had, turning water into blood and such. And the other one, everybody agrees, is Elijah. Because Elijah pulled fire down from heaven, and Elijah could stop it from raining. But I disagree with the Moses part, and here's why. It is appointed unto man once to die. Elijah didn't die. He went up in a fiery chariot. He went up in a whirlwind. God appreciated this preacher so much, he took him alive up to heaven. He translated him like a rapture. Now, he had to do something to him physically for him to be able to stay there, and I believe he did. And then there was another man in the Bible, and he's not necessarily known to be a great preacher, but he was a righteous man. I imagine he's a preacher of righteousness. So therefore, the Bible says he got so close to God, and he walked with God, and one day God took him. Didn't say he died. Didn't say he died. And watch the other verse. It is what? Appointed unto man what? Wants to die. Here's two men that's never died. And they're in heaven right now. And I believe God's been preparing them now for 2016 years for what they're about to do. Boy, these are going to be some smart preachers, buddy. These are going to be the smartest preachers ever lived. They're not going to be ignorant and country like me. They're going to be real biblical preachers, buddy. And they're going to come on the scene after the rapture, after Jesus takes us believers out of here. They're going to show up about midway in the tribulation period. While God is whipping his children, trying to get them to come to the right Savior, Israel. And while while he's putting them through that great tribulation he talked about in the Old Testament, about halfway through, they start rebuilding that temple. And as they're rebuilding that temple, these two big old long beard, probably got on big old robes, you know. They show up on the streets of Jerusalem one day, and one of them starts shouting, prepare to meet thy God! You know, and boy, they start preaching against everything. You think I'm mean sometimes. You ain't never seen nothing yet, man. I'm telling you, these guys are going to preach, and they're going to preach the Word of God, and every word they say will be the Word of God. They're not going to give any personal opinions. They're not going to give any stories about their life. They're going to preach about the coming kingdom. Amen. And CNN's going to be up there, and they're going to all be standing around, and NBC and all those other lost people, they're going to be standing around with their cameras and their microphone. I don't think they're going to do much talking. They're going to do a lot of preaching. Amen. And they're going to say, we're live here on the streets of Jerusalem. And there's two maniacs out here. And they claim the world's going to burn up. And they claim that God's coming to destroy everything. And worse than that, they say Jesus Christ is coming back. And we already know he's here because he's over there getting the temple ready. And these men's crazy. Somebody needs to put them in jail. They need to be on medication. Listen to them. And they'll let you listen to them for just a few seconds. They'll take it back. And they'll say, they are not politically correct. They are not good for our country. They are not good for our world. They're not good for Jerusalem. They're troublemakers. They're trouble stirrers. They don't love people. They're against LGBT. They're against this and they're against that. We need to get rid of these people. We thought they were all gone. And one of them looks at one of them preachers and said, preacher. And he takes his microphone. He said, you don't sound like no preacher to me. And that preacher looks at him and goes, fire comes out, and that old CNN anchor, and I think I know the one I want it to be. He burns right up. He's gone. Dead. Burn up. Worse than that, when he woke up, he woke up in hell burning forever and ever and ever. And I'm telling you, these two guys, Elijah wasn't scared of nobody but a woman. I know that feeling. Amen, man. Hey, and he didn't preach politically correct. He said it ain't gonna rain till y'all get right with God. If you don't get right with God, it ain't raining. If you get right with God, it will. God ain't blessing you. God ain't doing nothing for you. He don't hear your prayers. That hypocrite you got for a king right there, he ain't nothing but a wimp. His wife's got him whooped. And what you need to do is kill him and all those hypocrite preachers he's got behind him over there, that 450 over there. If you don't want to kill him, give me the axe. I'll do it myself. And he chopped their heads off. Wouldn't it be something, Brother Billy, if the preacher jumped up next week and started chopping off hypocrites' heads? It'd be flowing to the horse's bridle in here. Amen. I got news for you. You say, I just never heard nothing like that. That's because people are afraid to talk like that. Our society, our religious system, our churches have gotten so far away from God that if you preach the truth of God's word like this, they think you've lost your mind. You didn't go to the right school. I want you to notice that. Look at it again. Look at verse 5. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Well, I thought you was a Christian. I thought you were supposed to be nice. Now, you're a Christian. You're supposed to be nice. Yeah, Elijah wasn't very nice. Amen. I told you, Moses said before he'd get out on his face, say, God, just kill him. I'm tired of him. You wanted to kill him before. I wouldn't let you. Go ahead and kill him, God. Kill all of them, and we'll start over, Lord. You know why? What the world really needs is some old-fashioned, barrel-chested, blue-blooded, Holy Ghost-filled men that will stand up for the Word of God and preach the Word of God and quit mollycoddling everybody because, hey, the end's coming and most of the preaching, teaching, all this stuff going on in our today's churches ain't doing nothing but putting people to sleep and pacifying this world so when Jesus does come, they ain't going to know what to think. And I got some other shocking news for you. Most of the religious world that we have today wouldn't even believe that part belongs in the book. Or they would try to spiritualize it. Or they would try to explain it away. But it's real. He said, there's two witnesses coming. Now look at it, and I'm about through. They're literal men. They're real men that preach. They're real men that produce miracles. And then look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, in other words, when their work's done. And by the way, we all got our time. Our work will be done. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and they shall overcome them and kill them. They were literally killed. Now Elijah finally dies, and Enoch finally dies, but that ain't the end of the story. Oh, victory in Jesus. Amen. They've already got the victory. They've been up in heaven 2016 years. They're not scared of this. But Bobby, this ain't like it just happened. They didn't know it was going to happen. They were already prepared for this. And I got news for you. As a child of God, you need to be prepared for some things like this. Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. He said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. He said, they killed me, they'll kill you. Look at this. Look at verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. And the reason Jerusalem's called Sodom and Egypt is because they've made friends with the world at this time. Our churches ought to be called Sodom and Egypt in the day we live in. where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in the grave. So in other words, 3 days and a half, these two men are going to lie on the street dead, rotting. 3 days. And the Bible says the whole world will see them. There's those cameras again. And they're watching. You know why they're watching? Because they want to see what else is going to happen. But then if you go and read, it says they're going to have a party. And for 3.5 days, they're going to exchange gifts and they're going to celebrate. It's going to be another Christmas. Christmas don't mean anything to anybody anymore. You go in the store now, they're already selling that junk. I told some poor little girl at Walmart the other day, they're putting up Christmas trees with those little music boxes on. They already play, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." I said, "Young lady, by the time Christmas gets here, you're going to be stark raving mad. Those songs are going to drive you crazy. Every day you go to work, you got to listen to that till Christmas." You know why? Christmas doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore. It's just a time to exchange gifts and have a party and celebrate. It's not about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I got news for you. They're really going to enjoy the death of two great men of God. And they're going to enjoy it. They're going to have a part. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Osama bin Laden was killed and nobody had a party. Nobody exchanged gifts. One of the wickedest men that ever lived. Killed more people in one day than most men ever killed in a lifetime. And nobody celebrated. Nobody had a party. And of all people, if we ought to have been happy about somebody dying and going to hell, that was the man. Amen. And there's been a lot more since that. And nobody notices. For one thing, it's politically incorrect. If you said anything, you'd be labeled as a hate monger and a bigot and prejudice and everything else. But these people, they're all going to agree. These two men were upset in the apple cart and we were having a good time till they showed up. And everything was going good. We're rebuilding the temple. We've got the new Savior going to sit on the throne. And the whole world's at peace. And everybody's doing good. So what? Half the population has been burned up and killed and destroyed in all those catastrophes that we just had. The Savior's here now. He's going to fix all that. We're going to be good. It's going to be good. And who are these men to come try to mess that up? We don't want to hear about that old religion. We don't want that old time religion stuff. We've got some new stuff. Bobby, we're relevant now. We're elevated. Amen. And all those other words they use nowadays. I've got news for you. People don't want to hear that stuff. And they have a party. But the story ain't over. That ain't the end of the story. Amen. With God's children, that's never the end. Some people might have a celebration when me and you die. Amen. I've had people tell me, "Say, I'll dance on your grave." I say, "Help yourself. I ain't going to be there." I don't care. Go over and do whatever you want to. Some people may celebrate when we die. I don't know. Wouldn't it be a testimony if they did? Yeah. Amen. That'd be a testimony. That'd be a good testimony, wouldn't it? That fanatic is gone. Amen. Let's have a party. Let's drink to that. That's what they'll say. Amen. All right, but that didn't end it. And verse 10, they'll rejoice and have a party. Verse 11, after 3 days and a half, the Spirit, can't say that, capital S, the Spirit of life, that's the Creator of life, that's God Himself, that's God the Holy Ghost, from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Well, that's the whole world. CNN. NBC, ABC, MNS, whatever else they got. And it's going to be live out. And they're all having a party and people's drunk and they're celebrating. All of a sudden, boom, these two fellas jump up on their feet, alive and well. Don't slam that door while I'm preaching. These two men jump up on their feet, alive and well. And the whole world sees it and they don't know what to say now. They had all the answers before. Now they don't. I'll tell you what. It's going to happen. it's going to happen. Whether you think that's an allegory or you think that's some kind of spiritualization, it's real and it's going to happen. They're going to get, he's going to resurrect them and he'll stand them on their feet. And verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them. Now they missed the rapture. They were already in heaven. They missed the rapture. But they got their rapture. He says, look at it. He says, come up hither. They get raptured. They get raptured. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. These are two that's dead now, and they're in Christ. And God's raised them back up on their feet and brought them back to life. And now he says, and ye which are alive remain. And he says, come up hither. And there they go. And CNN sees it. And NBC sees it, and ABC sees it, and you said, boy, that'll make people get saved. No, it won't. No, it won't. You see, now God's turned them over to a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They think they have the Savior. They think they've got the right worship. They're rebuilding the temple. Half the people on planet Earth died during this tribulation period, but they think they're through with that now. Everything's good. The Savior's here, and everything's going to be straight now, and there's going to be peace on the earth once for all, and we've got one religion, because, you know, those divided religions is what's called wars anyway. John Lennon sang it, you know. Imagine there's no heaven, there's no hell. Imagine there's no religion, you know. He sang about it, and we finally got there, you know, and we're all at peace, and I'm glad these guys are gone now. I was happy they was dead. I don't know how they got up. Zombies, I guess. They became zombies and took off. You tell me television ain't preparing people for this stuff. Amen. And look, they were literally taken up. They had a literal message. He said, prophesy 1,203 days clothed in sackcloth. They didn't come like Benny Hinn in a $200,000 suit and a $50,000 pair of shoes. They came in sackcloth. They were fully dedicated to God, and they had a literal message, and then they did literal miracles. They were literally murdered. They were literally dead, and they were literally resurrected, and they were literally taken out, and the whole world saw every bit of that. And then occasionally you hear somebody say, well, if I saw the rapture, I'd get saved. No, you won't. Too late. Well, when I see that Antichrist go in that temple and declare himself to be God, I'll get saved. No, you won't. No, you won't. Well, if I saw these two preachers breathing out fire and killing people and preaching the Word of God, I'd get saved. No, you won't. It'd be too late. Your mind is going to be turned and it'll be confused. Bible's got a word for that, reprobate. Reprobate mind. You couldn't believe if you wanted to. There are people living today that have rejected the gospel and the Word of God so many times, God's just turned them over to themselves and said, okay, if you won't believe it, that's fine. I won't bother you anymore. You just can't believe nothing now. You ever met anybody that didn't believe anything? I have. I've met one or two. And it didn't matter what you said, they weren't going to believe it. You could say, Brother Bob's got on a blue shirt tonight. They'd say, I don't know if that's blue or not. They just can't believe anything. And the whole world is going to be full of people that cannot believe even if they wanted to be. Now, listen to this real quick. I done gone too far. John chapter 17, verse 12, Jesus called Judas the son of perdition. You know what perdition is? It's hell. Judas was born to be the son of hell. Now listen to this. In Zechariah 11, and I'm not going to turn there, but verses 12 through 17, it talks about an antichrist who betrays the coming Savior for 30 pieces of silver. What was his name? Judas. In Acts chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, it says that when Judas died, he went to his own place. His own place. A place that was already prepared. See, our prepared place is heaven. God wants all people to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If we die and go to hell, the Bible says hell was prepared for who? Help me. The devil and his angels. So if Judas went to his prepared place, which is hell, that must mean that he was the devil or his angels. Now, I don't know. A lot of supposition about who the Antichrist will be. But I can tell you this. He's going to be a lot like Judas. If not Judas himself. I don't know. There are theories that God will... The Bible don't say... But that God might let Judas come back and be that Antichrist. Because, see, that's what he was anyway. Judas was very religious. Judas knew Bible. Judas knew who the Savior was. He knew who God was. And yet, he sold out the King of Glory for 30 pieces of silver. Now, the Bible says he repented not of what he believed, but what he did. Repentance means change of mind. He repented. The Bible says God repented several times. It doesn't mean that God had sinned. He needed to ask forgiveness of. It meant that God changed his mind. And so when Judas went out and hung himself, it was out of remorse for being caught. It wasn't for what he did. And he had a change of mind, so he goes back and he says, I shouldn't have done this. Take your money back. And they said, we don't want your dirty money. And wouldn't take his money. So then he went out and hanged himself. And the Bible says the rope that he hanged himself on, the tree there, it broke. And he fell down onto the rocks in the down the mountainside there. And his guts gushed out. And he went to a place that was prepared for him. Now, does that mean he might get to come back? I don't know. But I know this. In him lived the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says the spirit of the devil himself, and you'll never read that about anybody else in the Bible, the devil himself entered Judas. I've never read that in the Bible where it's ever happened to another human being. Have you, preacher? Not to it, never. The devil himself, not demons, entered Judas. You say, preacher, you're trying to say that Judas is Antichrist? I'm saying, I don't know. But I can tell you this. If it ain't, it's going to be somebody exactly like him. He's going to be very religious. He's going to look good. He's going to sound good. He likes money. He loves the world. And he's a crook. And he's a liar. And he's a thief. But he's very religious. And I'm going to say it again before I close. I believe, and I really believe this, I believe he could very well be alive right now today waiting for that devil to enter into that man to do the job he's got to do. The only thing that hinders him is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit hadn't taken us out of here. As soon as we're out of here, Spirit, the devil himself, I don't know. I believe it might be the devil himself, will enter into that man just like he did Judas. And he will take over the world. Here's the way I look at it, and I'm through. We're either living in the best of times or the worst of times. We're living in the worst of times because of the persecution against our faith. I hate crooked politicians. I don't want them to go to hell, but I hate what they are. I hate that they're ruining our nation. I hate that they're hurting people and confusing people and all this stuff. But you know, something a lot worse than that. We could live with the wrong president. Did you know that? We've done it before. We lived through Jimmy Carter. We can do it again. We lived through Obama. We can do it again. Listen, I'm telling you, we can live and go on and prosper, and God will bless his people as long as they're on planet Earth, no matter who the president is. But when this man shows up, we cannot exist on the same planet that he's going to be on. That's right. And there ain't but one thing stopping him. That's the trumpet and the sound of that archangel. Come up hither. And when we hear that, we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ will be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. When that happens, all hell's going to break loose on planet Earth. And that's going to happen for about 3.5 years. And then this man who's already around during those 3.5 years, he's starting to work himself into places of power and prestige. He's going to show himself for who he really is. And the earth ain't seen nothing yet. And I wouldn't want to be here. Hey, I wouldn't want to be here. There ain't all the money. There's not enough money on planet Earth to pay me to stay and see that mess. And I've heard idiots say, boy, I want to see that. And I tell them, I say, you are an idiot. You don't really believe it. If you really believed it, you wouldn't want to see it. I want to get out of here. And I want it to be now. And I wish he'd sound the trumpet today. I'd be so happy to leave. Preacher, don't you have anybody you love that's not saved? Sure do, but they've had their opportunity. And listen, I can't change that. Only God can change that. Well, preacher, wouldn't you like to see things? I would like to see things happen, but if he sounds that trumpet, I am so excited about going. We won't remember all this other stuff. And while they're down here on planet Earth suffering, we're going to be up in heaven at the bridegroom. And getting to meet him, the bride meeting the groom. And we're going to have a supper with him. And then, listen, we're going to have the best time we've ever had in our whole life. Let's stand. Father, I know everybody doesn't believe what I believe. I know everybody doesn't believe the Bible, Lord.